David Baptist Church. I miss being there with you today. Today, my family and I are in Phoenix, Arizona at a new church plant as we get ready to represent you at this year's Southern Baptist Convention. So this morning at Britt David, we're going to do things just a little bit differently than normal. This past week, we've been in Vacation Bible School, and we've seen the church act like the church, doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. And so I want us today to look into Acts chapter number 2. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me, Acts chapter number 2, and we're going to look at what that New Testament church was doing and then what we ought to do. In fact, what we're going to do today is to try to replicate some of the very things that we will read in this passage together. You ready? Do you have your place? Then you know the drill. Let's stand together. Let's read together from God's Word. You ready? Here we go. Beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray together. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word. We ask your blessings together today as we worship with one another, even through a strange kind of program. Father, we pray that you would bless every person that's in here today. Help us to understand who we are as the church and what we ought to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for being here today. As we look at this passage today, I want us to just take note, beginning with in verse number 42. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You know, trying to express and communicate biblical, truthful doctrine can be one of those challenging areas within the life of the church. It's one of those things that I get to do week after week as we verse by verse go through different books of the Bible and try to express, this is what the Bible has to say. This is what we are to believe. This is what we are to do. When I come to this verse, though, and I see that they're continuing in the apostles' doctrine, I understand that preaching is one of the ways, the primary way, but it's one of the ways that we express doctrine. A second way that we express doctrine in every worship service is through singing. Through singing. Just like Paul said to the Ephesians church, through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is a viable way to communicate biblical doctrine. So whether we're singing the old Holy, 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 or we're singing Chris Tomlin's new Holy is the Lord, we are singing and expressing doctrinal biblical truth. Now, in our verse today, we're going to take some time to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine by looking at these verses, by singing together. But it also says that they continued steadfastly in fellowship with one another. Now, welcoming one another is just the first step in fellowship, but it's a part of fellowship. So let's stop here for just a moment and take time and do what these scriptures say. So what I want you to do is to take a few moments right there where you are and welcome, greet, fellowship, spend some time with the people that are right there next to you in the pew, okay? And then Mark, as soon as we're ready, I want you to lead us in some singing, okay? Let's worship God together. Okay, you still have your place in Acts chapter 2, right? Let me show you something in this verse. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's where we were just a moment ago. But those words, continued steadfastly, apply to every action in that verse. So what it's saying is, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued steadfastly in fellowship, and then we get to the next phrase. They continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. Now, sometimes breaking of bread, like you see in verse 46, is a euphemism for eating full meals together. And there are times when the church needs to eat together. We need to fellowship around the table. But I think specifically in verse 42, he's talking not about supper in general, but he's talking about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is one of two ordinances that's been given to the church, handed down to us, and told we must do these things until Jesus returns. The other is baptism, by the way. But when we talk about the Lord's Supper, we're talking about those two specific elements. We're talking first about the bread. The bread is representative of or symbolic of the body of Christ, which was broken for us, which was shred for us. And then there's the element of the cup. Jesus said that the cup is to represent his blood that was shed for us. And as we receive those elements, it's a reminder to us that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected, and that one of these days he will return again. Now, I want to ask our men, if they will, to come and prepare the table for today. As they prepare the table, you need to be preparing your own heart. You say, Tim, how do I do that? Well, primarily it's through confession. You're asking the Lord to do something in your life to bring you to a point of forgiveness and cleansing anew, so that you come to this table right with the Lord, right with one another. It's not a matter of whether you're a member of our church or not, but if you're right with Him and you're right with others, then I want to invite you today to participate in this act of worship in the Lord's Supper. Let me turn this over now to Jim and to Alan and allow them to come and to take care of the Lord's Supper today. We've seen already that early church continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We've seen them continuing steadfastly in fellowship. We've seen them continuing steadfastly in the breaking of bread. We come to the final phrase of verse number 42. We find them continuing steadfastly in prayers, praying together, praying for one another. As is the case every Sunday, today, right now, this morning, there's someone in our prayer room praying for you and praying for this service. In all likelihood, there's some of you that as you've sat in your pew today, you've already spent some time praying. But this verse is not talking about individual prayers. This verse is talking about corporate prayers, where the church gathers together and prays together. An acronym that you can use to help you remember a specific formula for praying is the word ACTS: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. In all four of those areas, I've asked certain men to come and to lead us together in praying corporately in each one of those kinds of prayers. So I want to ask Andy Hines and Bob Stone and Gary Orr and Jim Shields to make their way to the front and lead us as we're praying together today. So if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, Andy, you're up first.
Almighty God, we give you praise because there's none like you. We love you because of who you are. Your great mercy reaches out to the unworthy. Your love extends to the unlovable. Your patience awaits our return, Lord, when we wander away from you. You free those who are in chains of sin. You are holy, wonderful counselor, mighty God. You are Heavenly Father. You are faithful. You are kind. So today we join together to praise you and worship you. Praise be to you forever. We pray in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Father in heaven, we're grateful to you for securing our salvation through your Son. Lord Jesus, when we think about your sufferings in securing our salvation, our hearts are saddened. It saddens us to think about those lashings that you took with that bullwhip, But then we're reminded that we're healed by your stripes. We're saddened when we think about the abuse that you took. We're saddened when we think about those soldiers that spit in your face. And we're saddened when we think about the people that mocked you. We're glad that we did not have to witness all of that. We're saddened by the thought that you hung on that cross for some 6 hours before you died. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the great sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We can imagine that when you finally died and you said it was finished, that the kingdom of darkness celebrated over that. We can imagine that Satan pronounced victory, that his plan to defeat you had succeeded. We wish we could have seen his reaction when just 3 days later he discovered that death could not hold you. That your plan to defeat him had failed, and that you're the one that was defeated. It may be true, Lord Jesus, that Satan was able to bruise your heel when you died on that cross, but you were able to crush his head through your resurrection. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for forgetting those great events sometimes that surround your death, burial, and resurrection. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for forgetting that really it's all about you and not about us. Holy Spirit, we remember that you're the one that Jesus referred to when he told his disciples that he would be going away, but he would be sending someone to take your place. We know that you're that one. We remember, Jesus, that you said that he would be our helper. Father, we know that our unconfessed and unrepentant sins are very offensive to you, and that they will severely affect our relationship with you if we continue in them. We remember, Lord Jesus, when you entered your temple in Jerusalem and found that it had been polluted, we remember how you reacted. And we remember that you told the people that they had made a den of thieves out of your Father's house. Father, if we're honest, we would have to admit that sometimes we do the same thing today. Lord Jesus, you told us that we would be in the world but not of the world. You said that we would be salt and light in the world to help people to find their way to you. Please forgive us when we failed to follow you in these commands. Please forgive us, Lord Jesus, when our lives have blended with unbelievers to the point that very little difference between their lifestyles and ours. Father, you told us that you were holy and that we were to be holy as you're holy. We know that you cannot work through us and in us the way that you desire when we allow the filth of this world to enter into your temple. We know that your power cannot flow through us when we allow the filth of this world to contaminate your dwelling place. Father, you tell us not to sin, but that if we do sin, we have an advocate, and that if we will confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, please show us our sins, and please convict us to the point that we're willing to repent and be restored. Holy Spirit, we confess to you that we have allowed your temple to be polluted with the filth of this world. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would cleanse us once again with your blood. Please forgive us of our backslidings. Please refresh our spirits. And please restore unto us the joy of your salvation. It's in your precious and holy name that we ask these things. Amen.
Dear Lord, we come before you now with hearts of thanksgiving, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each breath that we take. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to be in your house this morning, Lord, and to be able to rise this morning and move about. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings that you so richly provide us with. But Lord, we thank you most of all for the times that you forgive us, even in all of our sinfulness, even in all of our forgetfulness of who you are. And Lord, we just pray now that we will be thankful for the things that we so often take for granted each and every day. And yes, Lord, we even thank you for the difficult times that we go through, Lord, that if we will just stop for a moment and lift our eyes toward you, that these difficult times that we may go through give us the opportunity to look upward and to reach out to you and to be drawn closer to you. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this world filled with sin, suffered the physical abuse that he suffered, suffering the emotions that he suffered. Yes, Lord, becoming just like one of us, feeling the same things that we feel, hurting the same way that we hurt, so that he would know what it is to be human. And Lord, we thank you for his resurrection. We thank you that he was more than just a mere mortal man. We thank you that he was God incarnate. And Lord, we thank you most of all for sacrificing him, for allowing him, for his willingness to go to the cross in our stead. Lord, we pray these prayers in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we praise you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, and for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you, Lord, for being the God that pursues us to be one of your children and the blessing of being able to be in a corporate family of believers like we have here at Britt David, Lord. Just praise you for the opportunity to come together and study your word and be fed by your word and learn more about your doctrine and who you would have us to be, Lord. We also thank you for the fellowship of our fellow believers here at Britt David. What a blessing it is to know that in a time of need, there are those that love us and think of us as part of their Christian family, Lord, and minister to us and pray for us and intercede for us. We just praise you for that blessing, Lord. We praise you for the blessing of being able to come together in communion and worship you and just acknowledge you for who you are and for what you did for us. We thank you for your interceding on us, healing us, giving us strength, giving us love and understanding. And we thank you for the opportunity to come together in a corporate environment and pray and lift you up and lift others up And Father, as we just feel the joy of this congregation, why wouldn't we want to reach out to other people who are unchurched or lost and not bring them into this environment that they might feel the same joy that we feel? We just pray your blessings upon Britt, David. Grow our numbers, Lord, and let us feed those that would come, and just bless our pastor and his family and our staff, and just bless the young people that were here this week that so many were saved and accepted the Lord, and the ones that took their time to come in and teach them and care for them, Lord, what a blessing it is. We just thank you, Jesus, for all the good things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One of the wonderful characteristics of that early New Testament church was the way that they shared with one another. If you look down in your Bible to verses 44 and 45, you'll see a description of them pooling their resources together, bringing all of that together, giving it to the church, and then allowing the church to make the decisions about how to distribute those things according to people's need. Well, that's what we do. You will find that as you work through the New Testament that the church began to work on their processes, and systematically, every Sunday when they got together, they would receive the Lord's offering. So, when you give the Lord's tithe, when you give your offering, it goes to sustain and promote the work of God through your church. Now, I'm not with you today, but His tithe and my offering still belong in my church. So, I've prepared my offering today, and I want to be able to give it. Now, when the plate comes by in just a few moments, I want you to give your offering. And I want you to think about the fact that when you give your offering, you place that in that plate, that you are worshiping the one who entrusted that to you in the first place. So men, if you will, come prepare to receive our offering, and one of you pray over today's offering. The final point that we come to in Acts chapter number 2 is after the church has consistently and obediently done what God has called them to do, you'll read in verse number 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." God gave the church growth because of what the church was doing. God will give our church growth as those things happen. As you read this verse, "And the Lord added to the church those who are being saved," it may very well be that as you sit there in that pew today, that you yourself need to be saved. In just a few moments, as Mark comes and leads us, why don't you leave your seat? Why don't you make your way down the aisle and take one of these guys by the hand and just say, "I need to be saved." When you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. Now, it may very well be that you're here today and you've already been saved, but you don't have a church home. And you've been thinking about that in terms of coming to Britt David. So why don't you come down the aisle? Why don't you take one of these guys by the hand and say, "I want to plant my life in the life of Britt David and allow God to add you to this church." Listen, we also have an altar that's wide open, that's ready for you to come and just spend some time praying before the Lord the very things that we've read about today. This is time for you to do business with God. I'm going to ask Mark, if he will, to come and lead us as we sing together. Everybody.